So great news, folks. We will be starting what we are calling mini church during the week, where we meet in small groups. We'll be meeting for the first time on Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and Thursday afternoon at 3:15. So do try and join us at one of those three, and it'll be lovely to see you. Do remember your masks and all the normal social distancing rules. And if you are not well, then please refrain from coming for the sake of others. And we look forward to seeing you.
Good morning, friends. Great that you could join us again this morning. This morning we continue reading through Colossians as we come to our penultimate talk on Colossians. We'll be picking it up this morning, Colossians chapter 3, picking it up at verse 18. Now, won't you follow with me in your Bibles? Verse 18, and this is the Word of God. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we do ask and pray that you would speak to us, that you would help us to understand how we are to live for you, knowing that we have been raised with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last 2 weeks, friends, we've been looking at what it means to be a Christian. What it means knowing that we have been raised to life with Christ. We continue that same theme this morning, and the title of the sermon is Raised with Christ, Part 3. Because all these elements that we've been talking about over the past 2 weeks is what it means to be a Christian. You'll recall, if you've listened to us, otherwise if you've missed those talks, they're here on YouTube, go and catch them now. But we've learned that we must put off the things of this world and clothe ourselves with the things of heaven. This morning, Paul moves a step closer to home and speaks to us about relationships that we have on an ongoing, everyday basis. Paul uses three everyday relationships to illustrate what he wants us to understand. I don't think this is the only places that we are to live like this. I think what Paul is doing is taking three very close to home illustrations and saying this is a principle for every area of our life. But Paul picks up firstly, and you'll see here in verses 18 and 19, he speaks about what it means to live as a Christian in marriage. It means a change in our understanding of what marriage is. What I've done, and I'd like you to follow with me as I read through the Bible passage, but I've paraphrased this passage as if I'm talking from a secular worldview. In other words, the understanding of what our world sees today. If we were to write this passage today using the language of today and the thought processes of today, this is what I think this passage would say. And I want you to follow with me in your Bibles as I read my paraphrased version of modern society. So verse 18, wives, stand up to your husbands as is fitting for your own gain. Husbands, your wife is for your pleasure, but also ensure that she does what you want her to do and lets you go where you want to go. You notice the difference between how our society thinks and what the Bible says? Notice how different the approach is to marriage. And this is because we have been raised with Christ. Now, I'm not going into a long exposition on how wives are to submit and how husbands are to love and so on, because I think there's a bigger purpose here. But I will briefly touch on them. So just look at the three commands or three instructions that Paul gives to husbands and wives in this passage. Wives are given one instruction, to submit to their husbands. Husbands are given two instructions, to love their wives and not to be harsh with them. How different to our modern society. Paul says marriage is about honoring God, not ourselves. Every husband wants a wife that will submit to him. And every wife balks at the idea of submission. However, Paul is not saying that a wife must be a doormat. And we do need to be clear on that. There are times where a wife must make a stand for what is right. Paul is not saying that the husband can trample the wife because she submits. Paul is not saying that the husband can override his wife's thoughts or concerns or decisions. We must remember that when Paul was writing, women and wives especially had no status whatsoever in society. They were not allowed to go out in public without another male member of the family with them. They were often isolated from social contact. They were kept in the women's quarters of the house and only called upon when the need arose. The wives were the ones that had to do all the work in the home, while the men went off and did what they needed to do. It would have been easy for a wife in Paul's day, as I'm sure it is easy today for a wife, to rebel or refuse to do something that her husband requires. But Paul says, as a Christian wife, as a godly wife, as a wife who has been raised with Christ, he says, submit to your husband. But, he says, as is fitting in the Lord. In other words, submit to your husband as long as he does not break God's laws. In Ephesians, Paul equates the submission of wives to their husbands as submitting to the Lord. Every Christian is expected to submit to God's way of doing things. Submit to the Lord. Acknowledge that we are sinners and repent. And we are to honor God by submitting to Him. The idea that wives honor the Lord by submitting to their husbands. In a like manner, the husband is told to love his wife, not just sexually, but with true love, with care, with concern, holding her up and thinking of her needs above his own, even if it costs him time or money or other things. The husband is instructed not to be harsh with his wife. Now, I know many husbands, and sometimes myself included, who can be very harsh with their wives when we don't get what we want, or they haven't done something in the way that we would have. Again, Paul in Ephesians says that husbands should love like Christ loved us. And when we pause for a moment and think how Christ loved us, we recognize that he loved us while we didn't deserve love. And he gave his life out of love for us so that we might have life. Friends, that is what the love of a husband is meant to illustrate. Sacrificial love, where you think of your wife's needs ahead of your own. What a difference, friends, to how our modern society thinks. Where they think that marriage is all about the husband fulfilling his pleasures. Where modern society says marriage is about me, my status, my benefit. And often we end up counseling people who are saying, but my husband never does this for me, or my wife never or refuses to do that. Because our modern mindset is, it's about me. Whereas Paul is saying, as Christians who are raised with Christ, our mindset must be for the other person. Because we are now raised with Christ through his death on the cross for our sin, we should turn the modern approach to marriage on its head and serve one another. When the husband truly and gently loves his wife, she will happily submit to him. When the wife submits to her husband, he's more likely to love her and be kind and gentle with her. And so it works both ways, friends. Perhaps as you're watching this video, you realize that you are married to an unbeliever, or you know that. And maybe you've been trying to tell them about their need for Christ and their need to have their sin forgiven. Paul says, even in such a situation, you as the Christian partner in the marriage honor Christ by either as the wife submitting to the husband, or as the husband, by loving your wife sacrificially and being gentle with her. Paul said earlier on in chapter 3 that we must put off the things of this earth and clothe ourselves with the heavenly things. That's Paul's first illustration of how Christ must affect our relationships. The second illustration is about the family life, and it means a change in the family. Look at verse 20 to 21. And again, I've paraphrased this in the modern understanding. So follow with me and compare. Verse 20. Children, listen to mom and dad as long as it suits your own agenda. If you don't want to do anything they tell you, then don't. Fathers, ensure your child listens to you at any cost, even if it means breaking their spirit. Modern approach to families. We've all seen that child that throws the temper tantrum in the shops. And often parents do nothing to quell it, or they give in to that tantrum. We live in a society that says everything is for me. So if I as a child do not want to listen to my parents, or if I as a child want that chocolate or that toy or whatever it is, I must get it. Paul says, as a Christian child, you need to be different. You need to obey your parents. Even if your parents are not Christians, you need to honor the Lord your God by obeying your parents. And again, the same is for the wife, as long as it is within the boundaries of God's law. As Christian parents, and Paul picks out primarily the fathers here, because fathers are the ones that can be very harsh with their kids, but he is speaking to both parents. He says, Christian parents should not discourage their kids or embitter them, but love them. You see what he says here? Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. The idea? Love them and encourage them. The question is, how do we love our children? How do we encourage our children? Well, again, it's in the same vein as the husband is to love his wife, sacrificially. But remember that sometimes guiding our children or encouraging our children means having patience with them. I know I'm not very good at that when I'm trying to show my kids something about woodwork, which I know without even having to think about, I know what to do. And when I say do this and they don't know how, I'm not always horribly patient with them. But friends, being a Christian parent means being patient with them. It means giving them encouragement. Okay, that's not perfect, don't worry, but let's try it again. Let's do it, because I know you can. But sometimes, encouraging our children can also mean an encouraging tap on the backside, so that they will learn to obey us. How often do we not complain at the lack of respect that many young people have in our society today? I know, and because Helen's a teacher, I know a lot of teachers, and a lot of teachers complain that the children have no respect for their authority. Why is that? Well, it's because parents have not instilled that respect for authority in their children. They've allowed their children to get and do what they want with no repercussions. Proverbs tells us that a parent who fails to discipline or perhaps encourage their child is actually foolish and does not love their child. Discipline, to encourage them to do the right thing, is a sign of love. We're not talking beatings, and we need to make that distinction. But it's discipline to ensure correct behavior. God disciplines those he loves. And perhaps there's something in your life that God is disciplining you with now to bring you back to him so that you might obey him more. In the same vein, as parents, we should discipline our children. Christian homes should be very different to non-Christian homes by the way that the husband and the wife treat each other, by the way that children and parents interact with one another. It's not about me, but it's about me serving them. And by taking hold of my God-given roles, as perhaps a husband or a father, and ensuring that I honor God in those roles. But there's a third element, or a third relationship in our lives, that is an everyday relationship. And that is the workplace. A Christian who has been raised with Christ should be different in the workplace. In the time that Paul wrote this letter, it was estimated that more than half of the Roman Empire at the time were slaves. 60 million people, or thereabouts, were slaves to the rich. Today, there's a massive outcry about slavery, and people are calling people who had nothing to do with slavery to say they're sorry for what their forefathers did. I don't agree with slavery at all, and I think we should stand up against modern-day slavery. But I think what Paul is talking about here is more than just slaves. Paul is talking about the employee-employer relationship. The person who employs us, the boss, and us as the worker. And when we look at it from that point of view, from the boss and the employees, we suddenly realize that this has a lot to tell. And in fact, Paul spends four verses almost on talking about how the employee should react and should work. Again, I've paraphrased this into modern thinking. So follow with me and again, compare the differences. Verse 22. Workers, do the minimum amount of work you can get away with, and refuse to do anything outside your original job description. And whatever you do, do it so that you gain your boss's approval, so that you can climb the ladder. Do it all for yourself, knowing that no one else is going to provide for you or for your future. And if you do wrong, deny it. And if they do wrong, get back at them. Bosses, make sure your workers are paid the bare minimum and work them for the longest hours possible, knowing that you are the boss and you are in control. Spot the differences there? I know many of you are in situations like this, where the people working for you or with you do the bare a minimum of work, where your bosses pay you the lowest possible rate. But Paul says, as Christians, we have a different attitude to these things. As workers, as a Christian, we are to obey our bosses. Again, within the confines of God's laws. But we obey our bosses even when they are not watching. Work for God, Paul tells us here, not for your boss. Now that doesn't mean we ignore our boss, but it means that we are working for God, and He's the one giving us the motivation for our work, not our boss. If we work for God, we will give our best to God and listen to all that God tells us. And friends, this becomes a Christian witness in the workplace. People come to you and say, why are you doing this? No one's asked you to do it. The boss hasn't seen this. Why are you bothering with this? Because in our society, people work for man's approval, but as Christians, we should work for God. God's approval. God sees us, even when our bosses don't. On the other hand, if you employ people, and let me just add that I think many of us who are watching this video and listening to this talk do employ people. It might be our domestic staff, but we are the bosses. Notice the Christian approach to being a boss. We are not to treat them harshly, but we should pay them what is right and fair. We need to be compassionate, caring, understanding of their situations. And remembering that although we might be the boss, we ourselves have a boss. Paul tells us we have a master in heaven, God Himself. Paul tells us that because we are alive in Christ, it needs to affect every relationship that we have. Now, one final comment before we pull all this together, and I've skipped over a lot of this, so you might have been saying, but Dion, you haven't said this or you haven't picked up on that. Because Paul gives us three illustrations of relationships. And the principle applies to all relationships, and that's what I want to pick up on and spend the rest of our time together with. So my fourth comment this morning, serve the Lord. Paul gives us eight commands through these few verses here of how we should behave in marriage, in families, and at work. But there are also instructions of why we should do this. Look at verse 18. Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. In verse 20, Paul says, for this pleases the Lord. In verse 22, he says, out of reverence for the Lord. Verse 23, working for the Lord. Verse 24, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And 4 verse 1, you also have a master in heaven. You see what the bottom line is here, friends? In every relationship, it is about doing what pleases the Lord, not what pleases me. It is about doing what is fitting in the Lord's eyes, not what is fitting in my eyes. It is about doing it out of reverence for Christ, not to bolster my own image. You see, remember what Paul's been saying, chapter 3, verse 1. Since we have been raised with Christ, we are to set our hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And verse 2, we are to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Friends, it's very easy to put on a Christian face when you're around other Christians. It's easy to say the right things to the pastor when he talks with you. Regularly, as I engage with various people and people who know that I'm a minister, they might be talking along and suddenly a swear word slips out. Or they say something crude and suddenly they look up at me all embarrassed and they apologize. Oh, sorry, Pastor, I didn't mean to say that. I'm not sure why they do that. Maybe they think that I have a better connection with God and therefore I'll put in a good word or a bad word for them to God. Maybe they're trying to impress me and saying, actually, I'm a good person, and oops, that word just slipped out. But friends, it's easy to say the right things when we're in the presence of God's people. But when we're in our own family groups, with our husband and a wife, when no one else is there, what's our relationship like? It's easy to push our Christian beliefs aside and to demand that our wife submit to us or to rebel against what our husband is saying. or to disobey our parents, or to be harsh with our kids. It's easy in the workplace to throw out the Christian beliefs altogether because no one else subscribes to them, and so everyone else is doing the bare amount of work necessary, and it's easy to fall into that trap as well. It's easy as bosses to think, you know, it's just labor's costing me so much money. Let me cut their costs. Let me cut their salary. But Paul says, we have been raised with Christ. We honor God as we live our lives for Him in every relationship. Not just husband, wife, or families, or at work, but in every relationship. I mentioned at the beginning of this talk that I think these are just three examples of how we honor God, knowing that He has raised us to life. Because Paul says in chapter 3, verse 11, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised. And he lists a whole lot of different groups of people. Because as Christians, friends, we should not be influenced by the world. We should not be racist. We should not be sexist. We should not be bigoted or homophobic or you list whatever. We should not be those things, for in Christ, we are different. Sure, we're not perfect. And I've already alluded to the fact that I myself am not perfect in all my relationships. But we honor the Lord God as we show our love for Him in our relationships. Of course, asking God to forgive us for the times that we have broken trust in those relationships or done things that we shouldn't have. But as we honor God in our relationships by loving them like Christ has loved us, we, in fact, become a pointer to people on who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and we should treat them accordingly. Jesus died for you and for me while we were wicked sinners, while we wanted nothing to do with God. We were His enemies, Paul tells us in Romans. And yet, He gave His life for you and me. So how can we treat the people that God has created any other way? See, we are counterculture in these things. And we will be accused. Sometimes we will be accused of being racist or sexist or bigoted or homophobic or whatever. But if you, in all sincerity of your heart, can say that you are not these things, and allow God to deal with them. Don't get back at them. Don't try and belittle them. As Paul says, put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature. And as God's chosen, holy, dearly loved people, clothe yourselves with the things above, serving the Lord. Not your own agenda, but serving the Lord in every area of your life, whether that person deserves it or not. Who are you serving, friends? Are you serving yourself and your own means to an end? Are you expecting people to do things for you so that you can gain? Or are you serving God so that God's word, so that God's love might be shown to the world? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on these words, Lord, perhaps on the reprimand that some of us have been given on our various relationships, we do ask and pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. Lord, we're not perfect. We sometimes do treat our kids harshly. We sometimes don't respect those that we love. Sometimes, Lord, we fall into the thinking of this world in our workplace. forgive us. Lord, help us to serve you, not only in our homes, with our spouses, with our families, not only in the workplace, but help us to serve you in every relationship that we have, that we might show our love for you by loving others, by caring for them, and by working for you. Help us, we pray. Amen.
So great news, folks. We will be starting what we are calling mini church during the week, where we meet in small groups. We'll be meeting for the first time on Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and Thursday afternoon at 3:15. So do try and join us at one of those three, and it'll be lovely to see you. Do remember your masks and all the normal social distancing rules. And if you are not well, then please refrain from coming for the sake of others. And we look forward to seeing you.